In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nothing of this world can truly and deeply satisfy us. Nothing of this world can truly and deeply satisfy the soul. And that is because there is nothing in this world that is of the world, that is like the soul. Only God himself is like the soul. Only he can satisfy and refresh and quench the thirst of the soul for God. King David had had everything. He had satisfied every desire that he ever had. And every desire that he satisfied turned to ashes in his mouth. And he repented of his satisfaction of all of those desires that had turned him away from God. And he turned again to God with a thirst and a hunger that he knew now the world could not satisfy. Psalm 42, a psalm of David, says the words, "Like a hart that is a deer in the desert longs for flowing streams, longs for the streams that are fed by springs, so longs my soul for thee." This longing for the fulfillment and the satisfaction of the desire that at first, before we have the experience of fulfilling desires by way of the world and then realizing that none of the things of the world can truly satisfy us, it brings us to this point that David reached, where he realized that his desire could only be fulfilled by his longing for God. And so he cries out as he does in this psalm. St. Nikolai Velimirovich says that there is a fundamental difference between those who have come to realize this and those who have not yet had sufficient life experience to realize that this is true. And only those who have come to realize that this world cannot fulfill us, that there is nothing of this world that can fill us, that only reaching, touching, communion, experiencing the closeness and the response of God himself, only that can satisfy us. He says that if it were possible for us to drink the whole of the universe, nothing would be able to satisfy our desire. What we experience as lust for the world is only the inexperience of a desire that does not realize that our desire goes beyond the use of things of this world. It goes beyond any satisfaction that we can have by treating others as objects to fulfill our desire, our need. Our love, our desire for others can only be fulfilled in a way that goes beyond treating them as objects to satisfy our desire. Our longing for other persons as the persons that they are is itself a form of our love for God, our desire for him. All of our true desires can only be fulfilled by going beyond our hunger, our lust, our desire to quench this desire that we have to be fulfilled in a selfish, self-oriented way. This is the fundamental lesson that is necessary, St. Nikolai says, if we are going to completely understand the reading that we have today from the Gospel according to St. John about Fotini, the Samaritan woman. In some ways, Fotini reminds us of St. Mary of Egypt. She has spent her life in easily fulfilling her desires, easily fulfilling her passions. And she knows that the men that she has had cannot fulfill the desire that she has. And there comes a kind of cynicism into the life of such a person, as Mary of Egypt in the story about her that we heard during Lent. It's the same with Fotini. She has a kind of cynicism. She has a kind of worldliness, a wisdom that has come from disappointed experience. And when Christ meets her at the well and asks her to give him a drink, she responds in a kind of ironic, cynical tone, "Why do you ask me, a woman of Samaria? Jews don't have anything to do with people of Samaria. You have some interest in me beyond this water that you're asking for." This is an absolutely unique situation. Jesus Christ is a man, but he is truly, and in a real sense, the man. He is the new Adam. He has been the new Adam, man as we were meant to be from the time of his birth until this point in Samaria when he meets Photini, and on unto his ascension of the cross to destroy death, and beyond that to his resurrection. He is the incarnate Son of God. He is the one who fulfills our humanity in a way that was not fulfilled in the first beginning. And this meeting between him and Photini, it's almost like a replaying of the experience of Adam and Eve in the garden. When Eve tempted Adam, Adam took the fruit because Eve had been tempted by Satan, and there was the fall. Here, there is almost a reversal of that kind of situation. The one who is the true Adam comes to the fallen Eve, and he offers her that which all of us as human beings need and desire, even in our ignorance, not recognizing it, not realizing it. He offers her communion with God through himself. Christ has come into the world in order to share himself, in order to bring the gift of the water of the Holy Spirit, to give us life, to give us life eternal, to give us that which we cannot have from any other source other than God. Now, Jesus is fully a human being. He hungers, he thirsts, but his hunger and his thirst go beyond anything that can be satisfied by the food of this world. And he is aware in a way that goes beyond even the awareness of the saints. And so he holds back on his thirst and his hunger, because as he tells the apostles when they come later on, he has meat and drink that they know not of. The meat and drink that he has come in order to bring and in order to share with us is the meat and drink of communion between God and man through himself. That is what Jesus' desire is. When he asks Photini to give him a drink, he is asking her to share herself with him as a human being shares themselves with God, and the result is that both of them are refreshed with this living water that we can only have by communion with God. In the icon, you see that the well is in the shape of the cross. It reminds us immediately of two things: the cross itself and also the baptismal waters. Those stand in the background. This is not simply a narrative that is limited by its taking place historically in time. Its significance is greater than that because of who he is, because he is the incarnate, eternal Son of God, and he is at the same time the new Adam. And she is a fallen Eve who responds to him when somehow he is able to reach into her heart and get her to respond to him in a way that she doesn't fully understand. But she knows that he can see into her heart. He knows that she has tried to unite herself with one person after another, in order to fulfill this desire that we all try to fulfill throughout our lives by all of the efforts that we make during the course of our lives. And that there is nothing that any man can give her. But this man is offering to share something with her that has to do with eternal life. They both have a thirst for oneness between themselves and God, even Christ. After all, remember, is truly human, a human being like the rest of us. His longing is for communion with God, not in isolation, just as himself, as an isolated individual. Jesus Christ is never an isolated individual. He is always longing to gather the others in, as one place in the gospel it says, like the little chicks that he wants to protect like a mother. His desire for communion between God and ourselves is a desire of inclusion. And in this particular case, he has met someone who is ready. Someone who is completely used up all of her hope that anything of this world can satisfy her. And so she is ready to respond. He is able to speak to her in a most unusual way. By way of his divine humility, he is able to find the way to speak to her and let her know in humility that he is the one she awaits, that he is the one awaited by the chosen people of God, that he is the one that is awaited as the Messiah, that he is the Christ. He doesn't do this anywhere else in these clear words. Part of it has to do with his divinity, but surely part of it has to do with the fullness of his humanity. He has been many places. He began on that day when he took up the scriptures in the synagogue, and he read the Old Testament scriptures to the people of the synagogue. And he said that these words of prophecy are fulfilled before you on this day. And he was speaking of himself. Those who knew the scriptures would know what he was saying. And they did know what he was saying. And they responded by taking him out to the top of the crest of the hill and trying to cast him off the cliff. But it says that he simply passed through the midst of the crowd and went elsewhere. And another occasion, when he went to the Gadarenes and he healed those who were possessed, the Gadarenes rejected him completely and demanded that he leave them. He's had this experience over and over again, but here, this woman, who is a Samaritan, and the Samaritans were considered to be pagans by the Jews. Yes, they did honor the patriarch Jacob, but they also worshipped false gods. They also had idols that they worshipped. They were, in a certain way, very much like ourselves. We are Christians, even Orthodox Christians, and we know that God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus Christ has worked our salvation and offers to us a worship in spirit and in truth that we engage in during the course of our lives, but we also worship the false gods of vanity. We worship the gods of the secular world. We fulfill ourselves, or falsely, we try to, and again we are disappointed by turning to diversions, entertainment, money, seeking to be well known, for others to have a high opinion of ourselves, seeking control over others, positions of authority. All of those are false gods. They're the same gods that inspired the peoples of the ancient world. And the Samaritans are like that. Whether we truly respond to Christ's offer of communion with him, it's not so regular in our lives. We have to remind ourselves over and over to put those false gods behind us. But here is a woman who knows those false gods, but also knows the promise of the coming Messiah, and has this incredible dialogue with Jesus the Christ. He knows all of her life. He knows her in her heart, and she responds to him and recognizes him, and she quenches his thirst for communion. That is the drink that the apostles don't know about. And after she has recognized him, she goes into the village. And it's different than it was with the Gadarenes. It's different than it was in Nazareth. She witnesses to the people, how can this not be the Christ? He told me everything that I have ever done. And they come, they meet him, they see him. And there is a desire in them. There is that longing to be quenched by communion with God. There is a communion between them and Christ that was not found in his hometown of Nazareth, that was not found among the Gadarenes. And so Jesus, the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who came to Samaria and sat by the well because he was tired and he needed communion with someone who was willing to turn to him and have oneness with God the Father through him in the Holy Spirit, he found there what he sought. He revealed himself to them, and they responded. That is how it always is between us and God. We are here in this little town. There is no other church in Tekoa who has the fullness of the Christian faith. Other churches believe that our relationship to God is a legal relationship, that we are damned and condemned, and all we can do is accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and we still remain at the mercy of the presence of sin and suffering and death in this world. We are the only ones who know that Christ has brought the worship in spirit and in truth that can fill our lives. It's not just something that we enter into in the divine liturgy. We come here in order to do that entering into the kingdom of God. We receive the body and blood of Christ, but we are sent out into the world as Christ sent his apostles. And as he spoke to them, look across the fields amongst all of those who desire God more than the things of this world. All of those who have realized that they have been disappointed in their efforts to fulfill themselves by simply using others, that there must be some way to truly have communion with others, to truly have a communion with others that is a communion with God. There is a longing for that, and we are here to be the presence of that reality in Tekoa. We are the ones who have been given the fullness of the teaching, the fullness of the experience, so long as we are able to respond to the presence of Christ, as Fontini did, and realize that not all of the things of the world, if we were able to have all of them at once, could satisfy us, because our need is for communion and oneness with God. That is why David wrote the 42nd Psalm the way he did. And when we hear it, it should echo in our hearts as the true desire that all of us have. As a heart longs for flowing springs, so longs my soul for thee, O Lord, the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.